children are a blessing, and our Lord treated children as a blessing. I wanted just to share that word with you today. You know, when the disciples were actually arguing, of all things, they were arguing about which one was the greatest. You remember that passage of scripture? Jesus called them together and set them down and then took a little child in his arms and said to them, "Whoever welcomes one like this, one such child in my name, welcomes me." Jesus placed an emphasis on children as real people, special people. In that reading, Jesus reminds the disciples that children are to be a blessing. As the parents were bringing their children to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them, which was not an unusual thing, in that day, in that time, the rabbis often were sought out to be a blessing to children or provide a blessing for children. But the disciples at this time didn't see the children coming as a blessing. They saw them as an interruption, as a distraction. And then, so the scripture says that they actually, in our language today, would have been, they spoke sternly to the parents who were bringing the children to Jesus. And, you know, we can understand it because they were probably trying to protect Jesus' time, to give him more time to spend on what they thought was more important. Ooh. You know, for them, after all, it was Jesus and him teaching the disciples and the adults, they were the ones that really mattered. Children were looked at differently in the world at that time, in that culture especially. Today, our culture is very child-centered. We got playgrounds at McDonald's and Burger King and even in the mall, thank goodness, sometimes. As grandparents, you know what I mean. When we're out shopping and kids start to get bored, thank goodness for the playgrounds and the malls. Restaurants all now have kids' menus, and you know, we have programs going on to keep our focus on children. But in Jesus' day, children were looked at as really not yet real people, you know, and sometimes even a nuisance. They had no standing in society. And so when the disciples saw the children coming, they assumed that Jesus wouldn't want to waste his time with them. Isn't that interesting? You know, in today in our world, we talk about children being a priority, but we don't always remember to treat them as the precious gifts that they are. We don't always. Sometimes we get caught up as well, don't we? I read a great story about a little boy who was sitting at a lunch counter in a little diner with his mother and his older sister. And after talking for a little while, the waitress came and she took first the mother's order and the sister's order for lunch. And then the waitress turned to the little boy that was sitting with them and said, "What will you have, young man?" And right away, his older sister said, "Well, I'll order for him." But the waitress wasn't going to have it. The waitress looked back at the boy and said, "What will you have?" And then the mother stepped in and said, "Oh, he'll have it." But before she could get it out, the waitress said, "Young man, I'm asking you a question. What will you have?" And he looked at the waitress and he said, "I want a hamburger." And she said, "Well, that's great. We'll get you a hamburger. Would you like mustard, pickles, onions, relish, or ketchup on it?" And then in this burst of joy, the child exclaimed, "I'll have it all. I'll have it all." And, you know, when the waitress walked away, the little boy looked at his mom and said, "Gee, mommy, she thinks I'm real." Now, isn't that, you know, just a telling story, a telling story, you know? And that's what I believe the children who came to Jesus would have said. He thinks we're real. He knows we're real. He knows we're special. You know, it's clear that that Jesus tried to teach a very important lesson to us even today that we learn from little children. Remember what he said? He said, "The kingdom of God belongs to such as these," right? He said, even in stronger words, unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So what did he mean? What did he mean, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven? Have you stopped to think about it? What did he mean, church? You have to become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. What do you think? What is it? Believe. Yeah. There is an innocence with youth, isn't there? And there's a trusting that's there. I believe that all those things are true. This purity, this innocence, this trusting nature that little children have teach us how to enter the kingdom of God. Robert Peterson tells a story about him meeting a six-year-old girl on the beach near where he lived. He had a house about 4 miles from the beach, and he writes that when the world starts to close in on him, he would just go to the beach and walk and be there by the ocean and through the sand, and he said it was there that I met her. I met this precious 6-year-old girl. She was building a sandcastle or something, and looked up whenever she saw me, and said hello. And he said her eyes were just as blue as the sea. Well, he answered, you know, with a nod. At that time, he remembers not being really in the mood to talk with a small child. But she said, I'm building, she said. And he said, what are you building? And she says, oh, I don't know. I just like the feel of sand. Well, that sounds good, I thought. And he slipped off his shoes. And as he did, a sandpiper glided by in the sky. And the child looked up and said, that's a joy. And he said, it's a what? Well, that's a joy. My mama says sandpipers come to bring us joy. And with that, the bird went gliding down the beach. And he remembers saying to himself, goodbye, joy. Hello, pain. And he turned to walk on. He says, I was depressed. My life seemed completely out of balance. But she wouldn't give up. What's your name? She said. Robert, I answered. I'm Robert Peterson. Mine's Wendy. I'm 6. Hi, Wendy. And then she giggled, you're funny. You remember kids saying that? You're funny. In spite of the gloom, he said, I laughed, but then walked on. But her musical giggle, he says, followed me. Come again, Mr. P, she said. We'll have another happy day. Well, he writes that the days and weeks that followed belonged to others, a group of unruly boys at Boy Scouts, PTA meetings, and an ailing mother. The sun was shining one morning as I took my hands out of the dishwasher, and I said to myself, I need a sandpiper today. And so, gathering up his coat, he headed to the shore again. The breeze was chilly, he wrote, but he walked along trying to just get that peace, you know. But he had forgotten about the child and was startled when she was there to appear again, saying, hi, Mr. P, remembering him. Do you want to play? She said. Do you want to play? What did you have in mind? He asked. And he said, I probably had a twinge of annoyance in my voice. I don't know, you say. And he said, well, how about charades? And then she really laughed. I don't know what that is, she said. How about we just walk? And so they walked together with her laughter, he said, just continuing to burst forth. And looking at her, he noticed, he said, what he wrote was the delicate fairness of her face. Where do you live? I asked her. Over there, she pointed, and there was a row of summer cottages, and I thought it was strange to be living there in winter. Where do you go to school? He said to her. I don't go to school, she said. Mommy says we're on vacation. She chattered a little talk, he said, as we strolled up the beach, but my mind was on other things. When I left for home, Wendy said it had been a happy day. And feeling surprisingly better, I smiled at her and agreed. 3 weeks later, he said, I rushed to the beach in a state of near panic. I was really hurting, he said. I was in no mood to greet Wendy, even though I saw her mother on the porch and knew that they were there. I felt like going up to her house and saying to her, Mom, look, if you don't mind, I'm not in a mood today to see your daughter. But when Wendy caught up with them, she looked very pale and out of breath, and she looked at me and said, what's wrong, knowing that my face was really showing my emotions. She said, why are you not smiling? Because my mother died, he yelled out. And before he knew it, the words come out of his mouth. I even remember whispering a prayer. I can't believe I just said that to a little child. She said to me, I remember, oh, then this is a bad day. Yes, I said, and yesterday and the day before, and he said, just go away. And she looked up at him and said, did it hurt? Did it hurt? I was exasperated with her, with myself. Did it hurt when she died? Of course it hurt, he snapped. Misunderstanding, wrapped up in himself. So he went off by himself. Months later, he went to the beach again. And walking up and down the beach, never saw her. Feeling guilty and ashamed in admitting that he missed her, he went to the cottage where he knew that she and her mother lived and knocked on the door. And a drawn-looking young woman with honey-colored hair opened the door, he said. Hello, I'm Robert Peterson. I missed your little girl today and wondered where she was. Oh, yes, Mr. Peterson, please come in. Wendy spoke of you so much. I'm afraid I did allow her to bother you. If she was a nuisance, please accept my apologies. No, no, he said, not at all. She's a delightful child. And he said, I realized when I said it, I really meant it. She looked at me and she said, Wendy died last week. She had leukemia. Maybe she didn't tell you. And he said, struck dumb, I groped for my chair, my legs given out, my breath caught. And her mother continued, she loved this beach. When she asked to come, we would never say no. She seemed so much better here and had a lot of what she called happy days. She seemed so much better here. And then her voice faltered and she said to him, she left something for you, if I can find it. And she went away for a moment to look. And he said, I tried to find something to say, but couldn't find the words. And then she came out and handed me a smeared envelope with Mr. P printed in bold, childish letters. Inside was a drawing with bright crayons, a yellow beach, a blue sky, and a brown bird. And under word was carefully printed, a sandpiper to bring you joy. He said, tears welled up in my eyes, and a heart that had almost forgotten to love opened wide. And I took Wendy's mom in my arms and just said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I muttered over again as we wept together. He said, that precious drawing is framed and now hangs in my study. Six words, one for each word or year of her life, a sandpiper to bring you joy. And it speaks to me of what a little child taught me. That's that year on the beach. Children teach us a lot, church. So my message to you today is consider your thoughts this Christmas. Thoughts generate emotions, not the other way around. And consider all that we do have to be thankful for. You know, we equate happiness with joy, church, but they're two very different things. They come from a different source, that's why. Happiness is completely circumstantial. It depends upon what we experience, you know, in our lives. If our circumstances are favorable, we say we're happy, and when they're not, we say we're unhappy. But God came to bring us joy. Joy. Joy throbs throughout all scriptures, speaking of that which God desires for us. A fruit, he said, of a relationship with him. A divine dimension of living that's not shackled by our circumstances. In Hebrew, the word means to leap or spin around with pleasure. How many that have little children have seen them do that very thing? I just rekindled my appreciation for joy on the birth of our latest grandson, who happens to be the happiest child that I have ever seen. And as you're around him, I got to tell you, it's contagious. It's just contagious, you know. That smile, that laughter, that innocence. And I am reminded, church, that this is what Jesus said. I've come to bring you. And we need to be like little children. We need to allow ourselves to return to that kind of joy, to return to the blessing that God reminds us of this Christmas, for he gave us a gift as a baby. The God of all the universe, pre-existent with God from the beginning, brought down to earth as a baby boy to bring us joy. God waited so long to bring that present to this world. So long he waited until just the right time to bring. That's why the angels, who are eternal beings, that's why they rejoice. That's why they brought a message of joy. For finally it was time, God said, to bring the answer to all human pain, the answer to all human suffering, the answer to all to this world, wrapped in swaddling clothes. I wonder if they know what that means. But we do. Means when God wraps us so tight, just like we wrap a baby, and we feel his arms of love, and we return to that place where we just let ourselves go, church. We let ourselves go, my friends, into the arms of God, into the hands of God who loves us so much and allows us to return to that spirit of joy. Isaiah prophesied that the Lord would one day stand up and say, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, joy. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, joy. He proclaimed freedom for the captives, released from the darkness, and proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor." Huh. What did he say? "To bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of the mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." I don't stand up here today to tell you that it's okay and that your circumstances are going to be perfect. But I come today to tell you this, that in the midst of any circumstance, God comes to bring joy. God comes to bring joy. And as we allow ourselves to learn from these children, we enter into that same thing. So, church, let's rejoice together. Let's rejoice, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a Savior is given. The greatest gift. Let's receive him. Let's receive him and receive our joy. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you, Lord, that today is such a special day, a day, Lord, just filled with the joy of seeing little ones just express themselves. Lord, the innocence that we see, the wonder and the mystery of it all is now upon us. And so we ask you, Lord, in our hearts, that as we receive you anew and afresh today, that you just allow us, Lord God, to return to that place of joy in our lives that you bring, to allow us to celebrate, Lord, to celebrate the gift that you give us, the gift that we'll keep on giving, Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.